Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, today we want to continue our study of this early hymn of instruction found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 11 through 13, and we have already examined the first three couplets. We might call it the first three stanzas of this hymn, and we are ready to take a look at the fourth one. Let me read the entire hymn. It's very short. The couplets really are shorter than what we would normally call the stanza of a hymn, but here's what it says: "For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." So thank you for joining with me on this Thursday, December 30. Almost there. One more day and 2010 is gone. Would you consider helping us financially to undergird the cost of maintaining the Beacon Broadcast and this on this and other stations? Well, we have looked at stanza one, which tells us death brings life. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. The second stanza teaches us that suffering leads to glory. If we endure, that is, patiently, perseveringly endure difficulties, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. Suffering leads to glory. And then number three, the stanza that we looked at yesterday, teaches us that denying Christ results in rejection by Christ. A very sobering stanza. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And I showed you on the broadcast yesterday passages from the words of Christ himself in Luke and in Matthew, which basically tells us that if we deny Christ, Christ will deny us. If we deny Christ, Christ will repudiate us. He will not own us as one of his own. He will not represent us before the Father. And that, of course, is what we need. We need an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. That's what we need. We must have a mediator, an advocate, to stand between us and the Father when the Father sits upon his judgment seat. When we stand before the judge of all the universe, we need a representative, and there's only one that can bring an acquittal on that day, and that one representative is Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ owns us as his own on that day, then we are eternally secure. We are saved. But if Jesus Christ should repudiate us, denounce us, disown us, fail to own us on that day, then we are eternally lost. And if we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, just one further word on that one before we move on to the last one. Obviously, this is not saying that if we ever one time deny Christ, we are forever lost. Peter denied Christ, and he was not forever lost. Peter denied Christ, but he repented. He sought forgiveness. He was forgiven. He was restored. and Peter is with the Lord in heaven, and Peter has an advocate in Jesus Christ the righteous. And on that great judgment day, Peter will be secure because Christ will represent Peter. Peter belongs to Christ. So it's not saying if we ever once in a moment of weakness deny him. It means if this is the pattern of our life, if when Christ is under attack, we are always silent or always siding with the attackers rather than with Christ, that manifests the true condition of our heart. And that tells us that we don't have a regenerated heart. It's easy enough to own Christ when you're with Christians. It's easy enough to own Christ when you go to church. But not everybody who goes to church, of course, is a Christian, are they? Not a true Christian. It's easy enough to own Christ in the safe place. In fact, it's pretty hard not to own Christ when you are around Christians. To fail to appear to own him then puts the uncomfortable spotlight upon you. But you see, some people are like chameleons. Wherever they are, they side with the in crowd. And at church, the in crowd, of course, is the Christian crowd. And so they side with Christ in that crowd. But when they are someplace else, at work, at school, in the marketplace, wherever it may be, and the prevailing attitude is hostility toward Christ, then they switch colors and they suddenly become like the scoffing crowd, the hostile crowd, the anti-crowd. And that's the pattern of their life. That may be the pattern of the life of somebody that I'm talking to right now. And dear friend, I want you to understand what your true condition is. That's the kind of person that the third couplet is describing. If we deny him, that's our pattern of behavior. If we deny him, he also will deny us. You can't have it both ways. You can't always be popular with whatever crowd you're with and expect Jesus Christ to own you, to represent you, to be your advocate, to be your imputed righteousness on the day when you stand before the judge of all the universe. You've got to take your stand with the Son of God and be faithful to his name, and he will own you. Or, if you are always shrinking from him, embarrassed by him, or by his word, then don't expect him to own you in that day. He won't. If we deny him, he also will deny us. But now we go on to the very last couplet. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Faithlessness magnifies faithfulness. This is a comparison of human faithfulness with divine faithfulness, and human faithfulness is never as faithful as it ought to be and as it needs to be. And if we are faithless, untrue, does that change him? No, he is still faithful. That is true to his own nature, his own character, because he cannot deny himself. What a wonderful couplet, but what exactly is it saying? Well, there are two possible approaches here. We can take this to be speaking in terms of a child of God who is not as faithful as he wants to be and as he ought to be, and it could be saying that even though we fail and fall, if we are faithless, yet Christ will be true to his promises to his own, for he cannot deny himself. And that's a wonderful truth. Whether or not that's what this couplet is talking about, that is a wonderful truth. And here's what one commentator said in explaining that particular position. He said, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful. Speaks not of the apostate, but of a true child of God, who nevertheless proves unfaithful. Christ cannot disown himself, therefore he will not deny even unprofitable members of his body. True children cannot become something other than children, even when disobedient and weak. Christ's faithfulness to Christians is not contingent on their faithfulness to Him, but His faithfulness produces faithfulness in us. Well, that is one approach. But here's another one. Well, let me read another statement that takes this same line of interpretation before I move to the second one. And another commentator says, but Paul makes it clear that even our own doubt and unbelief cannot change him. He abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. We do not put faith in our faith or in our feelings, because they change and fail. We put our faith in Christ. And then this commentator says, J. Hudson Taylor often said, it is not by trying to be faithful, but by looking to the faithful one that we win the victory. So that's the first approach, that this is speaking of a child of God who is not always faithful to Christ. And we can all identify with that, because that describes every child of Christ. Have you always been faithful? Have you always been as faithful as you ought to be? Have you been perfectly faithful? I can answer that question for you. The answer is no. I haven't, you haven't, nobody has. But even when we are not faithful, are not perfectly faithful, He is always perfectly faithful, because that's His nature, that's His character. But there is another line of interpretation on this text, and that is that this is directed to the hypocrite, that is, to the one who professes to be a Christian but is not. It's a warning. And there are a number of commentators that take that position, and here's one of them. God cannot deny Himself, that is, He cannot accept as true one who is false. That is the reason He gave such a scathing denunciation of the religious rulers of His day. He called them hypocrites because they were pretending to be something they were not. If Christ accepted someone who is not genuine, He actually would be denying Himself, because He is true, therefore we should be genuine. Now that's another interpretation. Now what's the solution between these two opposite interpretations? Well, my take is that both of these things are true. To be faithful means to carry out all of His commands and requirements of us, and none of us can. None of us have done that, even as children of God. But His faithfulness means carrying out all His promises, every one of them, both judgments as well as rewards. Therefore, this statement is a comfort for the weak one who is trusting Christ, failing at times, repenting, sorrowing, seeking forgiveness, and returning to Christ. But at the same time, it is a warning for that hardened hypocrite who claims to be a Christian, who has made a profession, but who is professing faith in Christ without humility, without repentance, and without spiritual fruit in their lives. In other words, they are really utterly faithless. So, for the one who is endeavoring to be faithful, but not perfectly so, the comfort is God, Christ, is faithful to you nonetheless. He cannot deny Himself. To the one who has made a profession and is leaning upon that and upon religious externals, but is actually faithless, not faithful in regard to the inner man and his relationship with Christ, here is a warning. Christ will be faithful to His judgments and His exposure of hypocrisy. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.